Last Sunday, we began this series of sermons introducing the question whether this could be the year that Jesus returns. The answer is honestly, as I said last week, I don't know. I just don't know. We can't. Our passage in Mark 13 starts at that point today, and when it says in verse 32, "Now concerning that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." In Matthew chapter 24, and here the point is the same, we can't predict the time that Jesus will return. Instead, we need to recognize the times we live in. We need to be paying attention. The hope of His return keeps us sane in this crazy world, and it motivates us as Jesus followers to complete the task that He gave to us, to make disciples of all the world. That's what it means to be ready. Well, I want to circle back today and talk just a bit more about being ready and focus on two passages where Jesus talked about it with His disciples and then described what being ready entailed. Like we said last Sunday, rather than try to predict the time when Jesus will return, we need to recognize the times in which we live. In other words, pay attention. Focus a little bit. Look beyond the physical things that we see with these eyes and see with our spiritual eyes and recognize the spiritual reality of what's going on in the world around us. It's part of living by faith, not by sight. And so we're going to read in Mark chapter 13 and in Luke chapter 12 today. And I encourage you, take out your Bible and look at God's Word with us together as we read this morning. Mark begins with the same thought that we read about last week, that no one knows, but then follows that immediately with what we're supposed to do about what we know. Mark chapter 13, verses 32 to 37 says, "Now concerning the day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Watch, be alert, for you don't know when the time is coming." It's like a man on a journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants, gave each one his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to be alert. Therefore, you and I, be alert, since you don't know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at the crowing of the rooster early in the morning. Otherwise, when he comes suddenly, he might find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to everyone, be alert. Mark, in this passage, is more concerned that we see how to know than what to know. How you know what's happening in the spiritual world is to pay attention. The question God asks isn't, what do you know about the end times? What He's really interested in is, how do you live in these difficult times? We answer by paying attention. I really do believe you'll know it when you see it, if you're watching. If you're reading His Word, if you're spending time in prayer, communing with the Spirit of God who will lead us each moment, each day, He's not surprised by what's going on. We shouldn't be either. We just need to pay attention to what's not so much to what's happening in the physical world, but what's going on in the spiritual world. Jesus wants His followers to stand firm in faith and hope so that they can endure the hardships that will come. See, it's not a matter of, well, I wonder if we'll have to face any hardships following Jesus. No, He said, look how they treated me. That's how they're going to treat you. The hardships will come. Be alert. Don't be surprised that hardships and trials will come. Recognize the hard times for what they are. They're part of God's plan. Think about that. Nothing happens outside of His will. Hardships and trials that we face are part of God's plan. And when we recognize that, we're able to know, He's still in control. I've never got to do this. I would love to say, this is an illustration from my life, but I've never had the chance to do this. But I imagine that jumping out of an airplane is the epitome of not being in control. I mean, I've pictured myself there, and I've watched videos of different people skydiving, and I look at that and I say, man, that's got to be a place where you are just out of control. Because people can't fly, okay? It's not happening. You jump out of a plane, you're falling. You're falling to a certain death if you jump out of a plane without a parachute. You jump because you believe that the parachute is going to control that fall and bring you down safely. Mark is saying here that Jesus' followers are the skydiver. But there's no ripcord that we control, that we can grab. Think of it more like a remote control sort of thing, parachute, that God our Father is holding the clicker. He's holding the button. And so when we are facing trials and hardships in life, it may look like we are plummeting to our death. Don't forget, God is in control. And He loves you so very much. He wants nothing but the very best for you. So even through hardship, we know it's going to be okay. It may seem like we're plummeting to our death, but we can shout with exhilaration, knowing that God is in control, even when, or really especially when, we're not in control. In a series of books that I read by James Bryant Smith, Good and Beautiful God, Good and Beautiful Life, Good and Beautiful Community. Good books, by the way. One of the things he said was that we need to answer two questions. Who are you? And where are you? And his quote then was, we should just remember this answer. I am a child of God, one in whom Christ dwells, and I'm living in the unshakable kingdom of God. And then remember, inside the kingdom of God, I am in no danger. When we pay attention to what God has told us, that's what we'll see. We aren't expected to answer why these things are happening in our lives. The only answer can be, I don't know why. I don't know why there's a virus ravaging our world. I don't know why people that we love and care about get sick and die. I don't know why hardships are going to come because of the economy. I don't know why. But I do know that God is in control. Do you believe that? It makes a difference in how you view everything in your life. When you pay attention to the truth and know God is in control. See, that's the whole point of paying attention, of watching, of being alert, as is repeated over and over in that passage we read in Mark 13. See the things that are happening in your life for what they are. They are all in control of our Father. You can stand by your faith in God with hope, not fear, and know that you will endure, not because of how things appear to be to you, not because you can imagine some good thing happening. You can know that you will endure because God said so. In verse 36, we see that on the other hand, if we aren't alert, if we're not paying attention, we may be caught sleeping when Jesus returns. No matter how I read that, that doesn't sound like a good thing. And so Mark says, watch, be alert. Over and over he repeats that. We need to pay attention to what he's saying, and we need to pay attention as we wait for our Lord to return. In Luke chapter 12, Luke expands on that just a little bit. And in verses 35 to 40, he says many of the same things. He says, listen, be ready. But he says, be ready for service and have your lamps lit. You are to be like people waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can open the door for him at once. Blessed will be those servants the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will get ready and have them recline at the table and come and serve them. If he comes in the middle of the night or even near dawn and finds them alert, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the homeowner had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let the house be broken into. You also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Verse 35 lays out some specifics for us. He says, listen, be ready. Be ready for service. It's really interesting. And if you grew up like me reading the King James Version, there's an entirely different phrase going on there that we don't talk about very much. But the phrase is, let your loins be girded. That's what he says. Let your loins be girded, to tie up the loose outer clothing in preparation for action, because they wore tunics, they're down around their ankles, and you got to get that material and gather it all up around your waist and be ready to run. We don't gird our loins much anymore. The idea is for you and for me to be ready. That first Passover, when the Jews were slaves in Egypt, they were instructed to prepare for this meal in a specific way. We remember the blood over the doorposts and everything else, but they were to prepare a lamb and bread and all this. But in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 11, it gives them this instruction as well. Here's how you must eat this meal that you prepare. You must be dressed for travel, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. You're to eat in a hurry. It is the Lord's Passover. That's an example for us of being alert, being ready for service. It's having your coat and your shoes on and ready to go out the door. This is something that there have been a couple times maybe that I've struggled with this, where Brenda and I will make plans to go somewhere and we're getting ready and gathering the things that we need to go wherever we're headed. And she's in her coat and she's standing by the door ready to go out. And I said, oh, wait 1 minute. I have to go get this. Oh, wait, let me put my shoes on. Oh, wait, where did I hang my coat? And it gets a little frustrating. And I have to say I'm sorry a lot in those times. That's the picture for us of what shouldn't happen as we wait for Jesus to return. Could this be the year? I don't know. But I want to be ready. I want to be like the Jews on the Passover, dressed for travel, my sandals on my feet and my staff in my hand, ready to go. Jesus used that illustration to talk about being ready, of a servant tasked with opening the door for his master. The right thing is for the servant to be ready and waiting, alert for any sign of his master's return, so that he can open the door at once when he comes home. And Jesus says, that's what I want you to be like, waiting for my return, paying attention, alert to the things that are happening in the world around you, but seeing the spiritual significance of them. Jesus Jesus then offers this motivation to us, his servants. He said that when the master finds faithful, ready servants waiting for him, that the master will then serve them. He'll gird his loins and have them sit at the table and serve them a meal, a reward. That's a radical idea. And the people of the day when Jesus was telling this story would have said, whoa, that's crazy. No master is ever going to do that for his servants. It never happens like that. But that's just who our Jesus is. He said, listen, there's reward for being ready. It's why he said in John chapter 15, you are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. I've called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. We are servants of God. We are servants of our Lord Jesus. But we're so much more than that, too. He says, friend, be waiting for me when I come home. Eschatology is the big word that theologians use speaking about the end times, about when Jesus will return, what happens in all the prophecies. But I want you to know, and I was reading a commentator who made this point, and he said it better than I could reword it, so let me just quote him. This is Darrell Bach, who said, eschatology in the Bible exists not so much to inform us of the details of the future as it is to prepare us to serve God faithfully today. That makes perfect sense to me. Jesus tells us all these things. He wants us to recognize the spiritual reality that's before us. It's more than just knowing all the details of what's going to happen when and what's it going to look like and all. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me. As we read the Word, you can't ignore it because it's all over the place there. But the point of that is to prepare us to serve God, so that we recognize the spiritual reality that's before us. People need Jesus. And Jesus wants you and me to connect with them. He wants His followers to connect them to Him. To introduce them to our Savior, Jesus. That's the spiritual reality of all of this. And when you start looking at eschatology, when you start thinking about the end times, when you start asking the question, could this be the year? You have to say, I don't know. But the spiritual reality is, time is short. Do you realize that when Jesus talked to the disciples about His return, they thought, man, this could happen any day. This could happen in my lifetime. I better be busy. That's the motivation. The urgency of our task. Jesus is coming back. And if the disciples believed it could be in their lifetime, a couple thousand years ago, how much shorter is the time for us today? Jesus is coming back. Pay attention. Don't be sidetracked by all the other stuff that goes on in our lives and in our worlds. With that in mind, I want us to ask ourselves today, what distracts me from God? What is it in this world that distracts me from God? You know what? I can't watch any news hardly anymore. It drives me nuts. And it distracts me. And it gets me thinking all sorts of stuff. It's not that I don't want to hear about the virus and what's going on. It's just, I can't do that. It distracts me from what's really important. I need to serve my Lord, irregardless of what's happening in the world around me. Some people are distracted by gaming. I mean, they get out and they go into these fantasy worlds of gaming. And there's nothing wrong with that. until it begins to distract you from serving God. It could be family. It could be friends. It could be sports or hobbies. It could be your work. Just the focus on providing for your family. And we could go on and on because it's different for all of us. I want you to ask yourself, what distracts me from service for God? There are endless possibilities of what it could be. And most of them, there's nothing intrinsically evil about those things. But do they cause me to ignore my devotion to Jesus? What eats up your time so that you can't read your Bible every day? What is it that just fills your schedule so much that you don't have time to pray? What consumes your time and energy that should be spent intentionally serving other people and telling them about Jesus? Now, understand, my point here is not to create a list of things that we shouldn't do. That's not it at all. We have to pay attention to what's going on, though. But it's not about a list of things that I shouldn't do. It's far better to focus on what we should be doing. To whatever is your passion, you will give your time. Listen to that again. To whatever is your passion, you will give your time. Put it in a different way. I've thought this for years and years. People do exactly what they want to do. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in people that I'm dealing with. People will do. They have time to do. They have money to do. They have all the energy to do whatever they want to do. What is their passion? Jesus said to us, His followers, be ready for service. Have your lamps lit. Be serving others while you wait for Jesus to return. On Easter, Jesus rose from the dead. We remembered that just a couple weeks back. And what a celebration it is to be reminded of the resurrection of Christ, the life that He has and the life that He offers to anyone who will follow Him. What a celebration. But you know what? He's not done. The next great thing that He will do is come back to earth for us. And until that happens, the task of every Jesus follower has been given to us. And it is to make disciples, to live our lives in relationship with other people so that they too will follow Jesus. And that they then will live in relationship with other people to bring them to that point where they will follow Jesus. The Great Commission. Go. Everywhere you go, make disciples. Who will make disciples? Who will make disciples? Intentionally completing the Great Commission is what Jesus means when He says, be ready for service and have your lamps lit. Maybe the childhood song that we used to sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Be ready for service. Have your lamps lit. Don't become entangled in false hopes or paralyzed by false fears. Be alert. Be ready. Be doing what He wants you to do. Because Jesus may return at any time. Knowing that Jesus will return, but not knowing when, leaves us with vigilance in hope. God cares very much what we do with the gifts that He's given to us. Our spiritual gifts, of course, we're talking about that. But also the gifts that He gives to us of each moment, each breath, each opportunity. Use His gifts to serve Him by serving others. Mark and Luke both wrote these passages of Scripture to remind us to concentrate on being faithful to Jesus and His work. The work that He's given to us to do with Him. To do so with hope and expectancy while you watch for Him to return. That is what it means to pay attention, to be alert. Be ready. Pay attention. Not to this world and all its bright lights and loud noises, but pay attention to be doing what Jesus wants you to do. Let's pray. Gracious Father God, would You please open our eyes to recognize the times that You have placed us in. Focus our attention on what You're doing in our world today. And Lord, help us to pay attention so we can be part of the work that You're doing. Make the opportunities to talk with family and friends about You so very plain to us. By Your Spirit, lead us to the things that You want us to do to express Your love to the needy who are around us. Use us, Lord, to serve You by serving others. Jesus, please move us as we see clearly the urgency of the situation, knowing that You are coming again, and we just don't know when. Lord, help us to be ready. May we be found faithful on that day when You come again for Your servants. And Father, by Your Spirit, remind us of this vital spiritual reality that we are not alone. You have promised that You are with us always to the very end of the age. We praise You, Lord. Amen.